I don't know what was going on behind the scenes.
There has to be more to what's going on.
Absolutely.
With that organization. It is such a bad look.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, everybody? It is your favorite podcast duo once again. Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court is in session. We have so much to get to in the court. Order!
Yeah, order. I just let you have that.
In the WNBA court.
Y'all, I got it. Jordan, I'm gonna woo-saw before we get started. Because if I just go in right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take a big, big inhale. Exhale. Yes.
Didn't make me feel better, but okay.
You know, it kind of made me feel a little bit better. Also, just putting out there, we're recording this at nearly 8 a.m. Pacific time. Good morning. I'm not a morning person. I'm really trying to be one. I'm trying.
You really are being one right now. I am a trooper.
I'm so proud of myself. I love this for me. We're recording this 8 a.m. Friday Pacific time. So we are going to recap the week. But if there is any new news that comes after Friday, we're not going to be able to speak on it. Any awards or anything else that comes out on this Friday, we have plenty to speak about already just from this week. But we're recording early because we wanted to get a little preview in before the semifinals. I'm also going to be out on vacation, so there's not going to be an episode Tuesday. Don't fight us.
Rub it in. Rub it in. Vacation.
Don't fight us. I love you all, but I'm going to be on the beach not thinking about you
guys
first.
Let's go. Let's go. I am
really happy about that.
I'm going to be blowing your phone up, too.
No, it's about to be on do not disturb.
Not really.
It's going to be on airplane mode. It's called a break. And this season, we all need a break. We all need a getaway after what we've been going through. And Cheryl, do you want to just get right into it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, let's start with the recent firings. Two WNBA coaches were fired. Let's start just real quick, a comment about Curt Miller. Mutually let go by the LA Sparks. I did not see this coming. I was shocked. I was in the Walmart checkout line and this notification came through on my email and I gasped. People were looking at me. What was your initial reaction when you saw Curt being let go?
I was just as shocked as you were. I will say this. I also have, I guess, made a couple comments regarding Rekia Jackson's like playing time in the beginning when the season started, right? If she would have gotten more playing time, should have or probably possibly would have been in the Rookie of the Year conversation. But even in saying that, I thought, and based off of the comments from the players, they really enjoyed playing for him. Only his second year.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming. I had no idea that this was coming. And then when they say, I guess, don't know the exact statement, but mutually agreed upon, that comes across as if he was like okay with it or he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to get one of those other jobs. I don't know. It's just so much. And a lot of it just doesn't really make sense to me. I guess it doesn't have to, but I was just as shocked as everybody else.
They had the league worst record this season, 8-32. They've had two straight, you know, losing seasons. They missed the playoffs for the fourth straight year, but they also didn't have a full roster. Like
the entire season. The entire season.
Yeah. How many 7-day contract players did they sign throughout the season? And yeah. You have your star number two pick, Cameron Brink, go down with an injury. I don't feel like that was Kurt Miller's fault. just don't know if that was... Look, the Sparks organization, and I can say this because I am a fan and I, you know, live in LA. It is terrible. It is terrible. And this is going to be the 17th head coach in 28 seasons.
That's awful.
How?
No, that's
How
awful.
How does that happen?
And it hasn't always been terrible.
No, it hasn't. Feels like there's a steady decline.
Yeah, the beginning when the league first started. I mean, the Sparks were always in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. When Penny Toler was the GM, like her or not, Penny Toler was making stuff happen. And then the coaches that you hire post Penny Toler,
blame Derek Fisher for this.
Derek Fisher, right? And you choose Derek Fisher over Derek Candace Fisher. Parker, basically. I'll save it for the next topic.
Okay, that is fine. The Sparks, you need to figure it out. I put out a call on Twitter for Carolyn Peck because she had a great pep talk. I don't know if you saw this clip. The pep talk to the Fever on WNBA Countdown was incredible. And I said, hey, Carolyn.
She don't want to be a part of that mess over there.
Hey, she said they put my tweet on ESPN and she was like, I'll have my agent call you. So I may have started some things. I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it. But we'll see. The Sparks, the next coach, you need to have someone that's going to grow with this young team and have someone that free agents are want to come and want to play for. I feel like the players like Kurt Sparks, y'all got to figure it out. From one bad organization to another, the Chicago Sky fired Teresa Witherspoon. I was at a loss for words. I was completely speechless. This was after one season with the Sky. They went 13-27. She was hired on October 12th, not even 1 year, a full year. Cheryl, I'm going to give you the floor because I'm so disappointed.
First of all, let me just say, Spoon, I love you. You know that I got your back through it all. Always have, always will. Let me try to get through this without getting emotional. So I spent about an hour this morning on the phone with her. Mm-hmm. And all I'm going to say, with her permission, is because it's not my story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I did ask her what I could say, what she wanted me to say. And she basically said, say what you want to say from our conversation. She did say she is planning on speaking when she's ready. Understandably so. She's not going to do it right now. But when she does speak, there are a whole lot of people that need to be held accountable. You do the firing and it comes out on Twitter. I saw it around 10 o'clock Central Time last night.
Late.
Yeah. First of all, that's just so unprofessional. And then I want to read this statement before we get into more details on this. So then you fire her last night and you put this statement out this morning. Statement from Chicago Sky co-owner and operating chairman Nadia Rawlinson. After careful consideration, we have decided it is in the best interest of the organization to part ways with head coach Teresa Weatherspoon, Rawlinson said. We are deeply appreciative of Coach Teaspoon's contributions to the Chicago Sky and the energy and passion she brought to the head coaching role. We thank her for inspiring a competitive, resilient spirit across the team, synonymous with Chicago Sky basketball. We remain steadfastly committed to being a playoff and championship contender every year, and we will be embarking on a thorough search for our next head coach. Teaspoon will always be a part of the SkyTown family, and we wish her the very best. First of all, Spoon don't want to be a part of that family. You treated her like trash. Sorry, but you did. And if the expectations were to make the playoffs, win a championship, or get fired, she wouldn't have taken the job. I'm 100% sure of that.
Nobody would. That is a complete setup for failure, especially when you look at the roster that she was given and you make a mid-season trade that takes away your one of your top scorers.
Jordan, but even through all of that, they were like a game or two away from getting that final playoff spot. Look, first of all, she walked into a hot mess, a hot mess. If you look at the history of the Chicago Sky, and I know a lot of people on Twitter have posted it, everybody is very well aware of what has happened with the Chicago Sky. Coaches don't get a long opportunity, let alone a Black female head coach. And the Chicago Sky don't go well together. And you know what's crazy is Nadia, being a Black female, can you advocate for our sister and just give her a little bit more grace? You put this statement out, and of course it's Nadia putting the statement out, right? You're a Black woman, so they're not going to come for you because we fired a Black woman. Michael Alter, where are you?
What a mess.
And so he wasn't even in the room when they fired her. It was Nadia and I don't know, Jeff, some other guy. I don't want to put his name because that may not be the right person. But I'm not going to get into all of that because, again, that's Spoon's story. But I am livid. People with way more talent have been given more opportunity, given longer to turn a program around or franchise around than Spoon was. And when you look at, first of all, what she walked into, right? A hot mess. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what she went through in the season, so Camilla starts the season off. She doesn't play because she has a shoulder injury.
You're right. I forgot about that.
Right? And Izzy was still never 100% this season. Elizabeth Williams goes down. She has season ending surgery.
Yes.
Right?
Elizabeth Williams. Yes.
Kennedy Carter gets sick, misses quite a few games. End of season, Angel breaks her wrist or whatever. So she doesn't play. And you still almost made the playoffs. Like you, it just doesn't make sense to me. It just really does not make sense to me. And then to say this, I'm going to say this and I'll be done. You're saying free agents don't want to come to Chicago because they don't want to play for Spoon. I say bullshit.
Yeah.
I know that with 100% that's not true. Free agents don't want to go to Chicago because of the organization. Let's just keep it real.
And let's look back at some player. You know, when we just go back to like you're saying.
Let's do.
Sylvia Fowles, this is 2015, wanted out. Elena Deladon, wanted out. Kalia Copper, wanted out. Candace Parker, bounced. Courtney Vandersloot, bounced. Yeah. Allie Quigley didn't come back.
Yeah.
Emma Messiman left.
Yeah.
That's just a handful. Marina Mabry isn't even on that list. And that was just this season.
Listen, like Gabby Williams, when she was communicating with Angel back and forth on Twitter, said, listen, sis, it ain't you. I'd love to play for you. I ain't coming back to play for that organization because of the way they treated me. Mm. And all of those players you just listed, Spoon wasn't there. So don't say they don't want to come there because of her.
That is a great point. And I also want to say, when we talk about, just take the basketball part out of it. If you are just going to a job and you want to, you're maybe being interviewed for a company and you see all of the people leaving so disgruntled and angry and set up to fail and how they dismissed Teaspoon, why would you want to come in and take this job? Like, it's actually not an appealing job to take. So then how is that going to hurt future seasons when you have a star like Angel Reese and it's going to be whoever takes this job also not set up for success? And that's going to hurt even further down the line.
Jordan.
It's just so head scratching and I am so confused. And I think what the organization has to start listening to is, one, the players, of what other players around the league are saying about your organization. And then two, your fans. You know how many people, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. If you're just a fan, you're just watching from what you can see on the games and what's on the bench. They love Teaspoon. They were hyped with her just as she was when she got mic'd up and she's firing everybody up and she got her superstar to buy in. She got Kennedy Carter to play well again. And it's like, that has to be taken with something. And it doesn't feel like that was taken into consideration even a little bit.
No, I just... Yeah. You know, when I look at just the timing of everything, you hired the coach before you hired a GM, right? And I don't know if this is the case or not, but just the looks of it to me says that Jeff Pagli, I don't want to mispronounce his last name, but the GM probably wanted to hire his own coach. Most GMs, because they want to be the ones calling the shots and in control. Maybe he was like, this isn't the coach I want. But there's so much I wanna say. I feel like they use Spoon. Right, to, because Angel has been very clear how she feels about Spoon, and
I know
you. I've said this on our show before. I thought Angel going to Chicago was the best place for her because of Spoon being the coach. And yes, I also felt that way with Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because there aren't a lot of coaches in this league that can coach Kennedy Carter. Mm-hmm. Like her, love her, hate her, Spoon connected with that young lady, right? Spoon connected with Angel. And I believe, as a former player, Spoon understood the players. But I bring up Kennedy because if you remember, there was a statement, I believe, the GM put out when the season was over about Kennedy, basically saying, when the time is right, we'll contact her.
Mm.
And my thing is this, you should be signing Kennedy Carter right now. Kennedy Carter is a hell of a talent. But you know what concerns me with the firing of Spoon? They will not bring Kennedy back. I don't think they plan on bringing Kennedy Carter back to the Sky. And then I look at that and say, Is she done? Is Kennedy Carter done playing in the WNBA? I hope
Which
not.
Would just she be shouldn't a sad, be. I know, yeah. just for her talent wise, that it is very much needed in this league. Yeah. The ripple effects of this, I think, are going to be huge. That the organization is going to have to deal with because of their choice. And I'll tell you one thing as we wrap this up. We had an episode when James Wade was the coach for the Sky and the GM and stepped down in the middle of the season to take the assistant coach's job for Toronto Raptors. And we were up in arms. We were like, what? Yep. Why would you do this? Is making a lot more sense now. He said, I'm out of here. He said, bye. This NBA opportunity came with an actual structured organization. Yeah, I'm going to leave. Yeah. And we're like, how could you do this to the players, leaving them high and dry? But I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but I think this is shining more light on that situation because it just seems like people and players and coaches are running for the hills. And Teaspoon was actually there.
This organization.
Yes. Like, she was like actually there fighting in a defensive stance on the sideline and she gets let go too.
Listen, there has to be more to what's going on.
Absolutely.
With that organization. It is such a bad look, right? I want to read this real quick before we move on. So Angel Reese put out a statement on social media and she just said, I'm literally lost for words knowing what this woman meant to me in such a pivotal point in my life. I came to Chicago because of you. You were an unsung hero in my life. We built a relationship in a short amount of time that will last forever. Let me add something to that. I know in sports, it's about wins and losses. It's about winning championships. Everybody wants to do that. But it's also a lot bigger than that. And Teaspoon, that's who she is. She's built like that. She's a competitor. She's a fighter. She's a winner. But she also cares about you as a person. And for your star player to stick her neck out for you on social media, when she knows people are probably going to come for her, says a lot about who Angel is, but it also says a lot about who Spoon is. Mm-hmm. And Spoon, again, you know how we feel about you. You know, I love you. I'm going to hold it down for you. And no doubt in my mind, the right place, the right team, the right organization is going to come along and you will land on your feet without question.
Absolutely. We love you, Teaspoon. But I think my husband is the biggest Teaspoon fan. So I had to let him down easy when I told him the news. He was so upset. And we just had a whole venting session in our home because this is what happens when this just kind of gets sprung on us.
Ugly. Okay. Just ugly.
Very ugly. We're gonna take a break. We need some water. We need to step away for a second.
When we come
back, we're gonna go maybe a morning shot. When we come back, we're gonna talk semifinals. Welcome back to Queens of the Court, and we're gonna take another deep breath before we get into it. All right, now let's talk basketball. Semifinals about to kick off on Sunday. I can't believe we're already in the semifinals.
Right?
Is zooming by. The first round had a couple stressful games in there, but it was clear sweeps all the way through across the board. Let's start with the Aces and the Liberty.
Ooh.
In the semifinals.
I know.
It is a rematch of the finals. The Liberty have had this boulder-sized chip on their shoulder all season long because the Aces came into their crib and won the championship on their floor by 1 point last season. And this season's been a little bit different. You know, the Liberty have got them all throughout the season. But the playoffs are always different, Cheryl.
They are. I need to rewind for a second. And maybe I'm just not thinking straight. Help me understand how the Aces and Liberty met in the finals last year. And they're meeting in the semifinals this year.
Well, the last year they were 1-2 in the regular season. So okay. That's how they met in the finals. Gotcha. Now,
it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're coming in as a 4 seed now. So that's why they are in the semifinals. And I think even before the season ended and people were like, oh my God, the Aces are going to, they kind of seemed comfortable with that 4 seed. That means they're going to see the Liberty before we get to the
final. Okay. That, you know, my mind was somewhere else on like East and West and.
No.
But you know what? I might even like this better.
Oh, why?
Well, because somebody is going to get knocked out and they're not going to even make it to the finals, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Sabrina put her statement out the other day about unfinished business, I was like, spicy, let's go. And you know, Vegas saw that. And Asia kept it cute. You know, she was just like, listen, if we don't go play defense, it's going to get ugly for us. But you know, behind closed doors, that statement is probably plastered on everybody's locker. Like, this is what she had to say. Unfinished business. So let's go take care of business. I might like this matchup better than seeing them in the finals. And the other part is because there will be a different team in the finals. It's either going to be Connecticut or Minnesota versus one of the teams that made it to the finals last year. So, okay, let's go. Let's go.
No, I know. I'm excited. Only a couple more sleeps until game one. But let's just rewind for a second because you said Sabrina made that unfinished business comment, but that was after she dropped 36 in the clinching win on Tuesday. She said that she, high-five Spike Lee in the front row and she felt New York injected into her veins. Yeah. And she just went on the score right after that. So she is like a adopted New Yorker now. But she has been playing at a really high level. Mm-hmm. We know Asia Wilson has been playing at a very high level. When Vegas swept Seattle, she finished with 24 points, 13 rebounds. Kelsey Plum's bounce back game was a 29 point performance. So
and much
Kelsey
needed.
Plum arrived. It was much needed. But
just for her mental, for me, Kelsey Plum needed that for her mental.
Yeah, she said she was sick. Round. She was throwing up the game one. So she just needed that to just come back into herself. But I'll say last year in the finals, it was a great finals. But I feel like we kind of got robbed of the superstar versus superstar. Like Breanna Stewart didn't have a great finals.
Agreed.
And she didn't have a great playoffs last year. She was still doing work in her ways, but I wanted her to kind of be the MVP.
She is the reigning
MVP. And Asia Wilson, I feel like they kind of canceled each other out. It was a lot about the others. Maureen Johannes had some big games. Sabrina, Jackie Young had big games. Now I want the superstars to step up. I want it to be Asia and Stewie, possession after possession, turn around this way, step through this way. I want that. I want my popcorn ready, watching superstars do work.
Ooh, I love the superstars coming to work. But listen, Chelsea Gray is back.
Yes.
Chelsea Gray is back to doing Chelsea Gray things. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what excites me more, the Asia Stewie matchup. Let me tackle New York first. You mentioned Sabrina has been playing exceptionally well, without a doubt. I think, you know, Sabrina is a baller. Like, she is just going to go play. She's playing really well. And I'm mad at her for putting that unfinished business statement out there. Like, I'm like, okay, well, talk your talk, girl. but, ooh. I think Jonquel Jones could be the difference in this series.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I don't know who Vegas has that can defend her. Asia is going to be matched up with Stewie. Mm-hmm. And there will be times when Asia will guard Jonquel because AC comes in and she will guard Stewie some.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that's a bad matchup from the standpoint of if Jonquel gets on the block and goes to work on the block, she could possibly get Asia in foul trouble. And you can't have the unanimous MVP of this season Mm-mm. in foul trouble. Asia Wilson has to be on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the biggest difference could play out in this series. The other side is when I said Chelsea Gray is back, Chelsea Gray could be a problem for the Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Who do you have guarding her? Is it Benaja?
How healthy is Benaja? I don't
she's
know.
She's out I'm, there, but we don't know if she's 100%. Yeah.
Right. But I see Sabrina on KP.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. I don't know. Benaja's either going to have to guard Jackie or Chelsea. And if I'm Sandy right now, I'm leaning more towards putting Benaja on Chelsea so she mm-hmm. can try to slow Chelsea down and disrupt some stuff. And then you're going to have Bebish guarding Jackie Young.
Yeah. Which her length, she's a true 6'4". Yeah. Like she definitely has that length, but the speed. And as we're talking about Jackie Young, we're due for a Jackie Young game.
Yes, we are. Yes,
we're due for a Jackie Young big game. And I feel like that is going to come in this series. Post-Olympic break, she's had some struggles in spurts. She had one good breakout game. I think she had 26 points in an Aces win. But we're due. And I think that's going to come in this semifinals at the right time. When they need her.
And Jackie Young knows she's due.
Yeah.
Right?
She's like, I wish
they were playing tonight. I wish they were playing tonight.
We got a couple more days.
I know. I'm ready for this one.
Okay. So let me ask you this, and we're going to do this for both series. Finish the sentence for both teams. Las Vegas advances if, and New York advances if. What you got?
Oh, Las Vegas advances if. Jackie Young shows up.
Mm. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Even on the defensive end, because she's going to have to guard Sabrina.
Yes. Yes. On both ends of the floor.
Mm. All right. And New York advances if?
New York advances if, what I said earlier, Jonquel Jones dominates.
I like that. I like that statement. I want to add, too, with New York, we can't forget that last year in the finals, Becky Hammon was putting Sabrina in every action on the defensive end. Switching on ball screens, just making sure whoever had the ball, Sabrina was guarding. I think Sabrina knows that and took that personal. She said she's been working on her defense, but I think if Sabrina can keep her, the offensive player in front of her, that is also how New York advances. If they have some team defense, getting some help more for her when she's on the ball, then yeah, New York advances. Do you want to? I'm not going to force you to make a pick because I've been on podcasts all week. Mm-hmm. They've been forcing me to make picks. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not.
Not going to do it. Call me a coward if you want. But this is going to be some good basketball.
I think it goes 5 games.
Yeah, I hope so. Just for my, that's like the, what do they say? The price for admission. Like that's.
And here's what I think. I think they both win a game on each other's court. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to New York for game 5.
Woo! Okay, our producer isn't a coward like us. James says 8-5 and again by one point on Ooh. New York's floor. You are a dirty dog, James. Dirty, that is a villain origin story for New York. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm Ooh. Just not. It is going to be spicy, though, James.
It is going to be spicy. I'm ready. Okay, that game.
I'm ready.
It's Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on ABC. So make sure to tune in for that. Let's go on to our other semifinal matchup, which is the Connecticut Sun versus the Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota Lynx are the 2 seed. The Sun are the 3 seed. Let's talk about Nafisa Collier.
Let's do it quick.
Because she's on a mission, 42 points in Ooh. That game two, 70% from the field. And the game before Crazy. That, she dropped 38 points.
Crazy. Let's go, Fee.
Fee said second in MVP voting. She knows. I hope her family gave her like a mini trophy that says if Asia wasn't so dominant, gosh. You would be our MVP.
How about that? I feel like you know how Asia felt about that fourth place vote last year? Yeah. I feel like Fee was like, all right, I know I ain't win, but if Asia wasn't so dominant really this season, yeah. I know I had it. And let me just remind y'all.
Yes. And she has been reminding us that a 42-point performance was 1 point shy of the WNBA playoff scoring record in a game. Maya Moore had that. And woo!
My goodness.
She makes it look so easy. I guess effortless. I want to say that it's effortless. I feel like they flash her after the game and she's not even really sweating.
No, girl, hair is still in place. It's late. She ain't breathing hard.
I think that's almost, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that more disrespectful if someone drops 42 on you and it just looks like they were just strolling in the park?
No,
you
know, I want someone to look
like they put all their effort into it. They are sweating, they're tired, bent over, breathing hard. She was like, la, 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 giving high fives to everybody. She went over, high five Diana Taurasi. She was like, okay, gonna go take a break.
Yeah. Done. Well, but you know, they do the electric slide after they beat you on their home court.
Yeah.
So you still got all of that energy to dance after you just gave us 42? Yeah.
Disrespectful.
But listen, this is going to be a different series. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it's going to be a different series.
Absolutely. I want to say just the regular season matchups between these two were amazing. Connecticut is up 2-1 in the regular season, but that was an overtime game the first time that they matched up. And then this last game, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, that went down to the final seconds. That was the Bridget Carleton 3 that sealed it with like 5 seconds left. But before that, it was Dawana Bonner, backdoor cut. Alyssa Thomas with the push shot from the free throw line. Nafisa Collier with the turnaround. Like, they were going back to back to back in the final, you know, 30 seconds of that game. So we are in for a treat because it's going to be that with the playoffs on top of it. And
this series is going 5. I need both to go five games. And I'm excited about both of these series. So I will say this, because the first round, I was like, the Minnesota Phoenix. I always knew Minnesota was going to win that.
For sure.
But I am so excited about these two matchups. It's going to be really good. And Minnesota feels disrespected, right? And Cheryl Reeves said it in the beginning of the season, like, people ain't talking about us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something Cheryl Reeves said to me at the Women's Hall of Fame induction. I was there with Taj, and Cheryl Reeves was there. We actually were just in the restroom. We were coming out, we were talking, and I was talking to her about Elisa Peely and, you know, Courtney Williams and Natisha Hyden. We were just talking about the players they added. And she said to me before the season even started, she said, you know, Cheryl, a lot of people aren't talking about us. She said, but we got a chance to be really good this season. And I was just like, okay, coach. Because even then I was like, okay, we're going to see, right?
Yeah.
Cheryl, Coach Reeve, I will never question you or doubt you again.
Never. I mean, she's a Coach of the Year candidate again. Yeah. This will be her fourth time receiving the award. I think Cheryl Reeve knows how to look at this Mod Podge of players and say, all right, there's one thing that we can get in common. We can play defense. Yep. And they were, right now, they're sitting as the number two team behind the Connecticut Sun. So this is going to be a defensive minded. If your name is Cheryl Swoops or another fan that loves defense, this is going
This is our series.
For you, because it is going to be defense. But Cheryl Reeve even said at the beginning of the season, when there was a WNBA graphic and there wasn't a Lynx player on the graphic, and she was like, again, you guys are forgetting about us. Like, it was very much that sentiment throughout the whole season. So now we're looking at a potential Lynx team that could be in the finals, but they got to go through Connecticut Sun, and they have to go through Alyssa Thomas, who is the engine of this Sun team. And another triple double, sure, just easy for her. She finished the series with a combined 31 points, 26 assists, and 15 rebounds in two games.
That's crazy. Those are crazy numbers.
26 assists tied Sue Bird in 2020 for the most playoff assists over a two-game span. So she's balling out of control. We knew Dawana Bonner was going to go into playoff mode. This is nothing new to her. So she went totally into postseason DB. And then Marina Mabry, 44 points and 9 assists combined in those two games. They eliminated the Lynx last year in the postseason, the Sun did, but they didn't have Mabry and they didn't have a Bree Jones. So I think that makes them scarier. I know this Lynx team is also different, but the Sun, what you thinking?
I think everything you just said is 100% on point, but I also feel like Connecticut, their vibe is different this year. Right. Like they just can never get over the hump. And I think the matchups are playing in their favor. It's going to be a great series. But yeah, I do think Connecticut, they have all the pieces to. Is it considered an upset if Connecticut beats Minnesota? I don't know. If you go off the seeding.
Technically, if you go off the seeding, I think it would be an upset.
You think so?
I think so, because Minnesota, for how they're playing right now, I think people have them on a fast track to go to the finals, and the Sun have kind of started the season really hot and then have dwindled. So that's why they're at that three seed.
But I'm not going to count Connecticut out. I think they are on a mission. Dejanay is playing at a whole different level, has been all season. I know we'll get to it, but since I brought her up, congrats, Dejanay, most improved player, so deserving.
Yes.
Dejanay is going to have to bring the D. Mm-hmm. No pun intended, but Dejanay is going to have to bring the D this series.
Yes.
And, look at her ticket. And I could see her, I mean, defending everybody from Courtney Williams to McBride to Natisha, everybody on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Right. But before you even get to ask me the question, I'm going to say the Lynx advance if. Well, Nafisa is going to have to be Nafisa.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have to put up some of those numbers that she put up in the first round, right? But I also think a player that could make a difference, be a difference in this round, is Myesha Hines-Allen. What a great pickup for them. A great pickup for Minnesota.
Yes.
And when you go on the other side of that, the Sun advance if, and to me, it's not just about one player, but I will say Marina Mabry's going to have to score. Great move by, listen, two things for Stephanie White. Putting Dawana Bonner on Caitlin, mm-hmm. that game one, brilliant move. Going to get Marina Mabry in the middle of the season before the Olympic break. Hell of a move. And Marina, to me, has been that one piece that Connecticut has been missing. Mm-hmm. She can just shoot the basketball. She can shoot it. Veronica Burton has stepped up her game with Ty Harris being out, defending, attacking, running the floor, scoring points. It's the Sun, like not just one player. The Sun is going to have to keep playing the way they're playing right now as a team. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel.
Yeah. And I think just to go off of that, you know, the Dawana Bonner move on Caitlin Clark, I think was genius. And mm-hmm. now is Stephanie White going to put Dawana Bonner on Nafisa Collier? And I think that it shows the range of Dawana Bonner. Like, I'm going to stop a guard. I'm going to stop a forward wherever no you doubt. Need me. I'm going to use my length and get stops. I love that. And then to your point about Myesha Hines-Allen, I think that is a great pickup because she's going to come in off the bench and match up with Alyssa Thomas mm-hmm. very well. They're both super strong, built similarly, and she's just hopefully going to be able to slow her down. I think that's the goal. It's not really stopping Alyssa Thomas.
Slow her down a little bit.
But I think that, you know, Minnesota needed that player because we've talked about they don't have a true center. So Alana Smith is going to be on Bree Jones trying to slow her down. And then, you know, it goes down the line there. But Myesha Hines-Allen kind of comes in and adds that. So I love that. Let's talk about Dejanay real quick, a little bit more, because you brought her up. Most improved player. You have been advocating for this from the beginning when she missed the All-Star, was snubbed there. She gets most improved player. She deserves it. She received 28 out of the 67 votes. De'Erica Hamby finished second with 18 votes. Bridget Carleton from Minnesota and had 15 in there too. But Carrington averaged career highs in points, 12.7 points per game, 5 rebounds a game, 1.6 assists, and 1.6 steals this season per game. She also had a career high 25 games with 10 or more points. She just looked like a different player from game one of the season. The opening seconds of that game versus the Indiana Fever, we saw something different, and it was both ends of the floor for Dejanay. What could you say about her and getting this most improved award that she deserves?
Yeah, it looked like she was on a mission. And let's not forget, Dejanay had, I don't know exactly what it was, but she had an injury last year.
Mm-hmm.
right?
She was nursing it in the offseason.
Sure, yeah. What it was. So for her to be able to come back and have the type of season that she is having this year, kudos to her. So deserving. And I want to make one statement, because there were a couple of players I was like, yep, she could get most improved. She could get most improved. But I think the voters got it right. Without mm-hmm. question. And I didn't even think about Bridget Carleton, but she was a good one also to be considered. Absolutely. But when I look at D'Erica, right, because there was a point where I even said Sabrina, right, mm-hmm. because I think this has been Sabrina's best season. But when I look at most improved, to me, it should be someone who hasn't really won anything, hasn't played in the Olympics, hasn't been on an all WNBA team, I'm just saying that's what I look at when I'm thinking about most improved. And Dejanay hasn't done any of that. And I also know people were like, well, Kennedy Carter should have been most improved because Kennedy's mm-hmm. had a hell of a season. And I don't really know all the rules, but the reason why I even said I don't think Kennedy would get it. And, you know, I advocate for Kennedy because I think Kennedy to me is one of the toughest guards to defend in the league. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because Kennedy didn't play in the league last year.
Well, no. So it's kind of like, and I'll say this, I did have an official vote for this season. And I think what they detailed in the most improved was that don't get it confused with the comeback player of the year. And I think that's what Kennedy could have been up for. Comeback player, okay. Like she made right. a comeback. She right. came back into the league. She came back onto the scene. You know, Skylar Diggins-Smith was one of those players that were up for the comeback player. So it's not going to be most improved because you had nothing to kind of go from
right.
last season.
Absolutely.
And I went back and forth with Dejanay Carrington or D'Erica Hamby. And my case for D'Erica was that you have to, when you are voting, you have to only think about like this season, like this, and for the most improved this season from last season. So you can't kind of think of career and say, okay, D'Erica has won different things over her career when she was with Vegas or whatever. And when you just look at the numbers from last year to this year, I do think D'Erica made a significant jump, but Dejanay's team is doing better. And I think that's also a huge part of it. Her role in improved and went bigger on a better team. And they're doing better.
And that makes sense. But
yeah.
But if you look at it that way, hell, Asia Wilson could have been up for most improved.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Just say, like, she could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think y'all voters got it right. Yeah. So congrats
love it.
To Dejanay.
Congrats to Dejanay. Love that. Love the video of Nalissa Smith decorating her room. Did you see that?
How about
Nalissa
that?
Smith decorated.
She popped the confetti though and it got on the floor. Liz,
it went the wrong way.
I need you to be better with that. Be better with that, Dejanay. But Dejanay was great. She was a great sport. She walked in, she just picked up the confetti and just...
I know. So like, sweet.
Oh,
so
boo. Sweet. You tried to surprise me, but didn't work. But I got you. I got you.
I got you. I guess we can kind of transition into what else happened during Connecticut series with the Indiana Fever. You know, just talking about Dejanay Carrington and even Nalissa Smith, you know, she tweeted and made a statement saying, you know, I brought my girlfriend flowers because of everything that she has been through these past couple weeks. And also because she won the most improved player of the year. And Dejanay Carrington, you know, there was an incident, I believe that was game one, where she accidentally poked Caitlin Clark in the eye, which was totally a basketball play. She was going for the ball.
And it was a poke. It was a poke. Because everybody's like, she stabbed her in the eye with those long nails.
Come on.
First of all,
the nails are not long.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
There was someone at the game two at Connecticut Sun saying ban nails, had a homemade shirt. She had very character-like long nails.
Girl, these people are funny. They're over
it's
the top.
Been
they're a lot. They're a lot.
A lot. That's all I can just keep saying. It's been a lot. And I've also saw, you know, my dear friend Lindsay Gibbs, she's been tweeting about this, a fellow journalist in the space, and she said, you know, don't, like, we got to stop calling it trolling. It's beyond that. Like, trolling minimizes it. This is beyond
that. It's not trolling. It's not trolling.
It is. And Dejanay showed a email that she got that I will not repeat.
No.
But it was disgusting and a threat on her life. And I think after the series, Alyssa Thomas and Stephanie White had some really good things to say, and maybe Cheryl, I'll just read those statements and we can kind of react off of those.
Yeah, can I say something before you read them?
Please, please.
Back to Nelissa Smith getting the flowers. First of all, you don't have to explain why you're getting your girlfriend flowers.
Please,
you don't have to
you
explain
don't.
Nothing.
No.
You could be getting her flowers because it's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It means a lot more to me when my husband buys me roses, flowers on just a random day versus on my birthday, Mother's Day, Christmas, Valentine's Day, because it's expected. If I come home from a trip and you're like, babe, got you some roses just because, I'm like, oh, I love it. You don't owe people an explanation for anything. Like, I saw that and I was like,
what are we talking about?
Y'all need a life.
Yes.
Y'all I'm really like,
what
need a
are
life.
We talking about? We're talking about flowers more than death threats. We got something's not in balance.
Right. And but before you read the statements, because I had just a couple of questions. When I saw all of that, and then seeing how Nelissa only played, I think she played 8 minutes in game one and like 4 minutes in game two. I questioned if Christy was like, I'm not going to play you because your girlfriend is on the other team. And if that's the case, like how childish, because Nelissa Smith is a ball. Like Nelissa Smith could have possibly helped Indiana win at least one of those games. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't understand why she wasn't in the game and why she wasn't playing. But
I'm not sure. Her playing time has been declining. Like she's been starting, but then not coming back in the game for, I want to say even towards the end of the regular season, which
I agree with
not
you,
sure
Jordan,
about.
But it's the playoffs. First of all, she started game one and then game two, you put out a statement that says, Nelissa's not starting, Timmy's starting.
Mm-hmm.
And is that because of all this stuff that's going back and forth on social media? I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me.
There's a piece missing there.
Yeah. Like she knows how to be a professional. Mm-hmm. She knows how to compete. It's the playoffs. They're trying to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
So that just really confused me.
Yeah.
But
that was really confusing.
I want to say this before you read your statements. You know, the WNBA put out a statement, you know, talking about some of the most elite athletes in the world. While we welcome a growing fan base, the WNBA will not tolerate racist, derogatory, or threatening comments made about players. But they didn't put that out until the Fever lost. And if you're going to put a statement out, and we've discussed this before,
mm-hmm.
this statement should have been put out even before the season started. Right.
In May,
because there was stuff going on then. But the day you did it, you were very well aware of the email that Dejanay Carrington had received. And you said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You said nothing. So Alyssa Thomas and Stephanie White's post-game press conference said it all.
Yes.
And I will let you read those.
Yeah, let's start with Alyssa Thomas. This is what she said when directly asked about what's going on right now in this league and specifically what her team has experienced against the Indiana Fever or in the and in these playoffs. So she said, quote, I think in my 11-year career, I've never experienced the racial comments like from the Indiana Fever fan base. It's unacceptable, honestly, and there's no place for it. We've been professional throughout the whole entire thing, but I've never been called the things that I've been called on social media, and there's no place for it. Basketball is headed in a great direction, but we don't want fans that are going to degrade us and call us racial things. We already see what's happening in the world and what we have to deal with in that aspect. We come to play basketball for our job, and it's fun, but we don't want to go to work every day and have social media blown up over things like that. It's uncalled for, and something needs to be done. Whether it's them checking their fans or the league, there's no time for it anymore, end quote.
Mm.
Mm. Great, great statement. Beautifully said from a leader in this league, somebody who has been quiet the whole season, who has just been taking it and is now like, hey, this is getting out of control. It does feel like it is spiraling a little bit. And I think Stephanie White was asked to just follow up on Alyssa Thomas' statement. And there, it's a very long statement what Stephanie White says, but this clip, this part is what I want to focus on. We in the media have to do a better job of not allowing trolls in social media to become the story. I feel like we have allowed trolls in social media to frame the narrative of what the story is, and it's unacceptable. End quote. And I personally love that because, yeah, snaps all around, because it does feel like we have lost the plot so many times of there are high level basketball games going on. And we have had these conversations over and over about what the talking heads on ESPN or these big major media networks where it's like, there is great basketball happening. Why are we getting lost in what everything else is going on? Let's reframe what we want our league to be about, because it feels like it's been hijacked a little bit. I don't know if you feel that way. Yeah. It just feels like the WNBA was a safe space for women's hoops fans. And now it is something different. And I'm happy that the league had the statement, but it should have been in May. This has been happening from the LSU-Iowa game in 2023. Yeah. So you had a year to craft a statement knowing that this was going to happen. Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Yeah. Better to be proactive than reactive. You know, I thought what Alyssa Thomas said, and even reading it, like, it's a powerful statement, but hearing her speak was so eloquent. Mm-hmm. It was so powerful. It was so beautiful. I felt her, because I was, when she said in her 11 years, Jordan, I cannot remember in the 27 years the WNBA has been around, us having to deal with so much hate and racism and vitriol and just evil, because it's really evil. I can't remember ever feeling the way I feel about the WNBA. Like, as much as I'm excited for the playoffs and all, I'm ready for the season to be over.
I know. And that's such a crappy feeling. I've also never felt that way before. This season has felt very long. I know.
And makes me sad. Yeah. It's just ugly. It's ugly. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Connecticut remained professional and are still able to keep playing the way they're playing says a lot about how professional they are. Because I ain't gonna lie to you, there were a couple of moments in watching the game, I was like, oh no, it couldn't be me. You know what I mean? I was like, oh no. But they remain professional. And
yes, yes. It's just, they are better than us.
100%. 100%. And it's just uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over a basketball game. DeJounay even said that. She said, I can't believe this over a basketball game. It's not life or death. We're not performing life-saving surgery. We're playing the sport we love. We're playing basketball. And y'all have just really lost your minds.
I really have. I took a page out of your book, Cheryl. I wore a graphic tee.
Oh, I like it.
Today.
Oh, I had a good one, but I didn't put it on. I'll save it for next time. I love that. Yes. I love that.
Mine says Black Women Matter. And
this is the only one I have today.
What you got? Explain. Savage, classy, bougie, ratchet. One thing Cheryl loves is classy, a
bougie ratchet
statement tee. I love it.
Wait, okay, come on, tell everybody about your shirt.
So I wore this shirt today because I feel like with this whole situation with the Connecticut Sun, and DeJounay having to put out that email, because I know that was probably hard, because it also opened her up to potentially receive more by putting that out there. But I feel like this whole season, we have been saying that Black women matter, that the Black players and their feelings and the threats that they have been receiving against their life matters. And that's why when we talked about a few weeks ago, the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert's comments, why they were so hurtful when specifically asked about the racial tensions and everything that has been going on social media, it felt like she swept it under the rug and said it essentially it didn't matter. What mattered was the bottom line and the rivalry and how it's good for the league and it's growing. That is great. We want that. But you have to say from the jump that these players matter. Mm-hmm. And that has been missing. So when I see this statement come out in the last week of September, it feels like now they matter or now we're putting out a statement. And when these players are working for this league and putting their bodies on the line and giving everything they have, you see the best players in the world in this league, the bare minimum that the company that they are playing for can say is you matter.
Yes.
And we care about you and we want to protect that.
Yes.
And that is the bare minimum that they can do. So I personally am excited to see the actions that will follow this statement, because it looks great. It's, you know, fits the square of an Instagram and all of this stuff. But what are the actions that are going to follow that? I'm very interested in how that plays out.
I am too, because I see that statement and I feel like it's kind of like a Band-Aid, right? You know, when you get cut and you put a Band-Aid on it to slow the bleeding down. But if it's a big enough cut, you actually need to go and probably get stitches and all of that to really fix it. I see this statement and I'm like, oh, well, this is a Band-Aid just to get us through the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Because when the season's over, then hopefully we don't really have to deal with this. And my thing is like, no, you need to deal with it now. And if it's not something that you can handle or you want to handle, you're prepared to handle, then there needs to be someone in place who can.
Mm-hmm.
Because the league is not going to change. Like these, you have, I don't know the percentage and I'm not going to put the number because people say, well, Cheryl Swoop said the league was 90% Black when it's really 89% Black. So I won't put a number, but it's majority women of color.
Mm-hmm.
And the hate has been coming since the beginning. And you should have gotten out in front of it before it has gotten to the point to where it is today. And, you know, it's sad, Jordan, when Dejanay is getting ready to accept her most improved player award and they say Kathy's on the phone and her first thought wasn't, oh, she's calling me to give me an award. Her first thought was, dang, what did I tweet this time?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
trying to protect myself, though. Like,
I know, right? And she shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, Connecticut Sun are moving on. They're playing the Minnesota Lynx. I'm excited about the basketball. Hopefully, we can stick to the basketball portions of it in our conversations. But gosh, I just want, like we said before, I just want to wrap all of the players and just let them know that they matter.
Yeah.
So we'll end it there. We'll take a break, pay some bills, come back, we'll give out some flowers. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. Before we move on to flowers, we got to put our producer James' prediction out there. He says Suns in five. Sun in five. And he said Nafisa Collier is going to have another 40 ball.
Yeah.
Against Connecticut's defense. Woo-wee.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see Jane, if that comes through.
I definitely agree with the 40 ball. At least one game. At least one.
At least one.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least one. And the Lynx have home court advantage, so it could happen in those early home court games. All right. We ain't putting our predictions out there, but I'm glad our producer laid his life on the line for us. Now it's time to hand out a few bouquets. That means it's time for Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. And you know what, Cheryl? This week, we are the ones receiving the flowers.
Oh, I need them. I told you I love random flowers, Jordan.
I know. I also got some flowers the other day from my tax lady, which was so nice.
Aww.
It was so sweet. So aww. I do love flowers,
yeah,
too.
She probably took all your money. She's like, let me send her some flowers.
I know. That's kind of what it was. But yeah, they're great. But this is from, these are flowers from Morgan. So I'm going to read this listener email real quick. I wanted to send you a quick email to express my thanks for everything you put into this wonderful podcast. I'm a new fan to the WNBA this year. I've made it a personal mission to invest my time and intention in women's sports. And after watching my NC State ladies make their run to the Final Four this spring, continuing to the WNBA season was just the natural progression. I started by signing up for League Pass and watching every team to find one that I connected with, or five teams really. I even signed up for a fantasy league to learn more about veteran players. It took about 1 week to be hooked, and I'm pretty confident it's for life. A couple of weeks ago, I even got to attend the Sky Wings game and just happened to run into Tasha Cloud after the game and got a picture. I'm 38, new to the league and a total fangirl for all these amazing players. But specifically, I'm writing to tell you, thank you for everything you put into this podcast. No one in my personal circle watches the W or a lot of sports in general. So every week I look forward to listening to you two discuss the players, games, and inner workings of the league. You two have taught me so much. And even though it's just me in my car listening to have a conversation, I often feel like I'm part of it too, because you always cover exactly what's on my mind about the past few weeks. And it helps me feel less alone in this new space. So thank you for helping me feel like I belong in the community of WNBA fans. You two deserve all the flowers.
Aww.
Morgan.
You said Morgan.
That is so nice. And I love this email. Thank you. Thank you. But it also shows that not all the new fans are bad. You know, I think we spend a lot of time talking about the bad new fans and the nastiness that has come with new eyes. But this is a beautiful, great example of a new fan who has fallen in love with the league that we love so much. And so, Morgan, welcome in. It's a great time. Not every season is like this. We can promise that. But it's really, really fun. So I'm so happy that you're here.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, too, because we should add that not all the new fans are like this. Like, you just got to take a deep breath because it's so much. But Morgan, thank you for the nice email. And thank you for the flowers. We accept them. We love them also. And right back at you. We're sending you flowers as well. Thank you. And welcome.
And
hope you're here to stay.
We love it. We love it. All right, this has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. Make sure to please follow, rate, and review the show. We are going through these playoffs so fast. The finals are going to be here before we know it. But make sure to keep following, rating. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You can also send any questions, any stories, any other flowers to our listener email address, queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And I'm going to put this out here because we really hadn't talked about it. So you know where to find us on social media. I'm at AirSoups22. Jordan is at HeyJordanR. So Jordan and I are coming up with our own Queens of the Court postseason awards. Mm-hmm. So if you have some fun ones that you want us to hand out, shoot it over to us. You can email it. You can send it to us on social media. But when I say fun awards, we're doing one like the best dressed of the season and the best nails setting spray of the season. Well, we're not going to do nails. Let's not talk about
don't
nails.
Do nails. Yeah, no.
Yeah. But the best laid edges, you know, stuff like that. So if you got some fun ones, shoot them our way.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for that reminder. Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by the amazing, incomparable James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese-Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And like always, a very special thank you to Alex Ozzie and Lena Moss Glazer.
And Court.
And Court.
What a session it was. It's adjourned.
It's adjourned.